everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Metanoia Madness. I'm your host, Nicholas, music creator, entrepreneur turned podcaster, lover of all things spiritual, mystical, and unknown. This is episode 75. Not every loop is yours to break. Welcome back to Metanoia Madness, the space where inner chaos becomes inner clarity and where you remember your transformation isn't always loud. Sometimes it's just a quiet decision to choose differently. If you've been doing the deep work, reflecting, shedding, aligning, then this episode might meet you right at the edge of your current growth. Because today we're talking about something I had to learn the hard way. Not every loop is mine to break. See, when you're someone who's emotionally aware, spiritually attuned, deeply reflective, it's easy to believe that every problem that crosses your path is yours to solve. That because you recognize the pain or feel the weight, you have to be the one who fixes it. And before you know it, your healing journey becomes a full-time job. Your nervous system becomes a sponge for generational wounds. Your identity gets tangled up in being the breaker of chains. But what if that's not the point? What if being the most aware person in the room doesn't mean being the most responsible? What if freedom isn't always about doing more inner work, but about realizing which work was never yours to begin with? This episode is about untangling yourself from what you've inherited, from family patterns that keep you reenacting out of guilt or habit, from the emotional obligations that were passed down without your consent, from the belief that healing means holding it all. Because here's the truth. Some of what you're carrying isn't a soul contract. It's just a story you walked into, and you have the right to walk out of it too. So if you've been tired, not just physically, but spiritually tired, this episode is for you. And if you've been questioning why healing feels heavier lately, why certain patterns keep showing up, or why you still feel like it's your job to fix everyone and everything around you, take a breath. We're going to unpack where that belief comes from, how to lovingly return what's not yours, and how to step into a new kind of freedom. One that doesn't require you to be the savior of every story. So let's get into it. There comes a point in your becoming where you have to ask, whose pain am I carrying? Whose healing am I chasing? Because not all of it is yours, and not all of it is meant to be. But awareness is a tricky thing. The more conscious you become, the more clearly you start to see the patterns, the emotional blueprints written into your family, the stories that echo across generations like unfinished sentences. The chaos you once thought was normal, but now recognize as dysfunction. And the moment you see it, something inside you whispers, it stops with me. At first that feels noble, empowering. You wear the title like a badge of honor. The cycle breaker, the black sheep, the healer. You see the unspoken rules and repressed emotions, the trauma nobody ever talked about. And you feel like maybe, just maybe you can fix it. Maybe your love can reach the people who couldn't love themselves. Maybe your patience can calm the storms that raged before you were born. Maybe your healing can retroactively rewrite the past. But here's the quiet truth nobody really tells you. The desire to fix what's broken isn't always rooted in love. Sometimes it's rooted in guilt or fear or the deep ache of trying to earn belonging in systems that never made space for your full self. And so you begin to bend. You dim your light around people who never learned to celebrate brightness. You become the emotional sponge in every room, absorbing what others refuse to feel. You say yes when your body says no. You give second, third, tenth chances because you see pain behind the behavior and hope your understanding will finally be enough to change it. But slowly, the burden begins to crush you, and you don't even realize it because it's disguised as responsibility. You're not just breaking cycles, you're internalizing them. You're repeating the very wounds you hope to end, just in more spiritual packaging. And every time someone lashes out, shuts down, or refuses to change, you wonder, is this my fault? Did I fail the mission? The question then becomes its own loop, where your worth is tied to how well you manage other people's healing, where your value depends on how much pain you can transmute, and suddenly you're no longer walking your own path. You're stuck orbiting someone else's. But here's what no one teaches you in the beginning. Awareness does not equal assignment. Just because you see the pattern doesn't mean you're meant to fix it. Just because you feel the pain doesn't mean you're responsible for relieving it. Just because you're capable of holding it all doesn't mean you should. Some loops aren't asking to be broken. They're asking to be released. Not fought, not wrestled, but simply let go of. Because there's a kind of healing that doesn't come from effort. It comes from surrender, from stepping outside the dance entirely and choosing peace over proving, from recognizing that the most radical thing you can do is stop. Stop spinning in cycles that weren't yours to begin with. Stop carrying what was never meant to fit in your hands. Stop confusing compassion with self-abandonment. This isn't about apathy or indifference. This is about discernment. The moment you realize my empathy is sacred, my energy is sacred, my peace is sacred, and anything that requires you to sacrifice your essence in the name of helping is not healing. It's a hijacking of your spirit. So what if the deeper invitation isn't to fix the loop, but to free yourself from the belief that you have to? That's where this episode begins. Not at the moment of triumph or closure, but at the crossroads of awareness and choice, where you finally ask, what's actually mine to heal? And what have I been carrying just to feel worthy? Because the truth is, your freedom isn't found in fighting every battle. It's found in remembering you were never meant to bleed for what doesn't belong to you. There's a moment, usually quiet, sometimes aching, when your soul whispers, it's time to let go. But if you've been taught that love means staying, that healing means holding on, that loyalty means suffering in silence, then letting go doesn't feel like clarity. It feels like failure. Even when your nervous system screams for peace, even when your intuition tells you that the loop is no longer alive, only familiar, you hesitate. Because what if walking away means you're giving up too soon? What if you're just repeating the same avoidance you've seen in others? What if they're right about you? That you're too much, too sensitive, too dramatic for wanting more? So instead of trusting your knowing, you cling to the pattern. You replay old conversations in your head, trying to reframe their silence as progress. You package your boundaries as just needing time. You wait for closure from people who have never once looked at their own reflection. But the truth is, you're not running, you're remembering. Remembering that peace doesn't require permission, that your clarity doesn't need to be validated to be real, that your energy belongs to you, and not everyone is meant to keep accessing it. Because letting go isn't an escape, it's an evolution. It's what happens when you finally realize that no amount of over-explaining, overextending, or over-giving is going to change someone who's committed to staying exactly where they are. It's what happens when you see that staying in the loop, whether it's a relationship, a family dynamic, or an identity you've outgrown, it costs more than it gives. Not in money, not in time, but in you. And maybe you've already paid enough of yourself into a pattern that was never going to shift. There's a certain type of grief that comes with letting go, especially when there was hope. You grieve the potential. You grieve the version of you who believed, who tried, who stayed longer than they should have. But grief doesn't mean you're wrong. It means you were honest. You loved with your whole heart. You tried with everything you had, and now you're choosing to love yourself enough to stop trying to bloom in a place that only ever offered survival. That's not weakness. That's wisdom. You're not abandoning the loop. You're refusing to let it define you. Because every time you choose yourself without guilt, without shrinking, without apology, you send a ripple into the world, a quiet revolution, a declaration that you will not sacrifice your softness to stay in places that demand your suffering. And here's the paradox. The moment you stop trying to break the loop is often the moment something actually breaks open, because you've shifted from force to alignment, from control to trust, from carrying to allowing. You finally made space not just for your own healing, but for the mystery of what happens after the loop ends. This is what it means to be available for peace, not as a concept, but as a commitment. Letting go doesn't mean you failed the mission, it means you realize you were the mission all along. But then there's this strange quiet that comes after the unraveling. When the loop no longer dictates your movements, when the role you once played, keeper of the peace, holder of the weight, fixer of what was never yours, suddenly vanishes. And it leaves behind a question that can feel both terrifying and sacred. If I'm not the one holding it all together, then who am I? So much of our identity gets wrapped up in the cycles we try to break. You don't realize how much of your self-worth was built on being needed, being strong, being the one who could handle it. Even your healing became a performance at times, a way to earn love, a way to prove that you were enough, a way to make the pain mean something. But when the loop ends, when you no longer associate yourself around dysfunction or redemption, there's a space. And in that space, the nervous system gets loud. The ego panics because there's no familiar rhythm to respond to, no chaos to fix, no wound to soothe that doesn't belong to you, just you. And that can be unsettling until it becomes sacred, because now you get to meet yourself, not as the one who saves, repairs, or earns, but simply the one who is. You begin to realize that peace isn't boring, stability isn't stagnation, and your worth was never actually tied to your usefulness. This is where real freedom starts to unfold. Not in the moment you let go, but in the season that follows, where you learn to live unhooked from the old narratives. You realize how often you confuse love with proving, how much of your identity was based on giving over understanding, over compensating. And when you stop doing those things, the false self starts to dissolve. It's vulnerable, it's raw, and it's also real. Because when you're no longer performing healing, you can actually receive it. And suddenly the energy you once poured into fixing becomes the energy that fuels your becoming. You learn to hold space for yourself, not because you're broken, but because you're whole. You learn to trust your intuition, not because it always makes sense, but because you always honor your truth. You learn to choose joy, not as a distraction, but as a new home frequency. And little by little, the old self, the one who had to do it all, hold it all, fix it all, fades. Not because they were bad, but because they were built on survival, not self-knowing. This is the true unraveling, the sacred becoming, where you stop being the one who carries the loop and become the one who walks free of it. Not in defiance, not in rebellion, but in the quiet devotion to a life that finally feels like yours. You're not here to be everyone's resolution. You're here to be your own revelation. And in that truth, you reclaim the parts of you that were never meant to be lost to someone else's healing. But the story doesn't end there. Because once you step outside the loop, once you begin to live as someone who is no longer defined by pain, urgency, or over-responsibility, something remarkable begins to happen. You stop managing people's growth, and you start magnetizing it. Your very presence becomes a kind of medicine, not because you're trying anything for anyone, but because you're finally being everything for yourself. This version of you, the unbecoming, unhooked, unburdened you, is grounded, soft, honest, whole. And in that groundedness, you become a mirror. Not a mirror that forces reflection, but one that gently invites it. The way you move through the world, the way you speak without over-explaining, the way you set boundaries with grace and finality, the way you allow joy without guilt, it shifts the energy in the room. It reminds people of a part of themselves they forgot was even there. And this quiet radiance is what begins the healing. Not your effort, not your labor, not your sacrifice, but your presence, your embodiment, your unapologetic return to yourself, your essence. Because when you stop spinning in loops that were never yours, you create the stillness where others can finally see their own. And maybe that's what it really means to be a light. Not to burn yourself out trying to guide people home, but to be so deeply at home within yourself that others remember they're allowed to come home too. There's a stillness that comes after the storm. A different kind of clarity, not the loud, urgent kind that demands immediate action, but the soft, grounded kind that comes from finally being rooted in yourself. When you're no longer making choices from the tension of who you're trying to be, you start making choices from the truth of who you already are. It's subtle at first. You start noticing where your yeses used to be automatic, how they came from fear, not desire, how many things you agreed to just to avoid disappointing someone, how often you made yourself small in the name of being seen as kind, agreeable, strong. But now, the noise is gone, the loop is gone quiet, and in its place is space. And with that space, a new rhythm emerges. Not dictated by urgency, guilt, or over-responsibility, but by resonance. You begin to feel your yes in your body again. You begin to trust the no that rises without explanation. You no longer need the approval of people who only understood the version of you that stayed stuck. You don't need to perform your piece for it to be valid. This is what alignment actually feels like. Not perfect, not always easy, but honest, clear, self-sourced. You're no longer negotiating your values to stay connected. You're no longer making your nervous system the currency for love. You've remembered your inner compass and now you let it lead. And here's what's wild. When you begin choosing from this place, everything changes. Your relationships recalibrate from fall. Some fall away because you're sustained by your self-abandonment. Others deepen because they were always meant to meet you here, in your fullness, in your freedom, in your truth. Opportunities show up differently too. You no longer chase what was never meant for you. You don't hustle for validation or beg for crumbs because alignment teaches you. If it costs you your peace, it's too expensive. But perhaps the most powerful shift isn't what changes around you, it's what changes within you. You stop feeling like you're behind. You stop comparing timelines and you stop reaching for what doesn't feel good just to prove something to people who weren't meant to understand your path. You begin to trust the timing of your own life because you're no longer outsourcing your inner authority. You're not waiting for signs to override your intuition. You're not seeking rescue. You're not hoping that being good enough will finally earn you rest. You rest because you know your value. You speak because you trust your voice. You move because it's true, not because it's expected. And this is what living beyond the loop really means. It's not just the absence of dysfunction, it's the presence of clarity. The quiet conviction that says, I am no longer here to prove, to please, to perform. I'm here to live in resonance with my soul, to walk with peace, to choose from wholeness, to let every decision be an act of self-remembrance. Because when alignment becomes the standard, everything that isn't aligned will fall away. And you'll stop seeing that as loss and you'll start seeing that as liberation. If you take one thing from this episode, let it be this. Not every loop is yours to break. Not every battle is yours to fight. And not every burden is a test of your love. Sometimes, the most radical thing you can do is not engage. To watch the pattern rise and recognize, this is familiar, but it is not aligned. This used to be mine, but it no longer is. And from that place, you don't shrink. You don't flee. You simply choose differently. That's the shift. That's the alchemy. When you stop spinning in loops that demand your exhaustion and start building a life that honors your wholeness. So here's a gentle invitation for this week. A journal prompt. Where in your life are you still holding on to a pattern of guilt or identity? And what would it feel like to let it go? Not with bitterness, but with grace. Breathe into that. Let it land in your body. You don't have to rush the answer. You don't have to force anything to change today. But awareness is a door. And the moment you walk through it, you're already on the other side. If this episode sparks something in you, if you're in the middle of your own unraveling, your own season of choosing yourself, I'd love to invite you to download my free Start With Why Clarity Guide. It's a gentle, reflective tool designed to help you reconnect with what actually matters to you, so you can make aligned decisions from the inside out. And if you're feeling the call to go even deeper, to stop caring what isn't yours and finally build a life that reflects who you've become, I'm offering one-on-one coaching for those ready to move from awareness to aligned action. You'll find the link in my description. But whether you reach out or not, I hope you remember this. You don't need to fix everything to be free. Sometimes freedom is what comes when you stop trying to fix what never was yours. Until next week, I'm Nicholas, and this is Metanoia Madness, signing off.